Hello, friends. I just have to say that for hours now, I've been through some very difficult technical things that Michael Crow is helping me to the condition where I never do what I did again. And I'm so sorry that it has come to that. Today is actually the 13th of November, and I'm working on program number 22. Now, you will be receiving in various ways a program 20.1 and 21. We'll see how we get that to you. But for the moment, Michael advised me that I can really continue where I left off, even though I managed to erase the entire text of the telepathy and the etheric vehicle, which was the text I was using. But he's going to recopy the erased part. I don't envy the task. And I will go on to 22, and then we're setting it up so that my own technical lack of expertise will create such a situation again. So, I just want to say that what the Tibetan says here is that in the last analysis, where we are dealing with the issue of just what impresses us at any given moment and how it conditions us. Now, that's the simple part. Yes, that is the simple part, and hopefully it will stay simple. Master Moria once said, well, what is your choice, to complicate or to simplify? And he said, obviously, it's to simplify. So I'm hoping that that can occur. Meanwhile, I'm so frustrated with having spent maybe 5 hours in vain when I could have been producing something for you, that I just have to drive on ahead. It seems to be the only way to satisfy the frustration. So we're on 56, and it's the 13th of November, and program 22 in telepathy and the etheric vehicle, a video commentary. And DK tells us, you will see, therefore, how much that I have already said links up with the teaching I have given upon the points of revelation. And these points of revelation are given in Discipleship in the New Age, Volume 2. So just, go to your, I wonder if I should, I always wonder whether I should, suppose I go to the Alice Bailey books, and I go to number 2, and I go to something called points of revelation, and maybe some sense can be made out of that. Let's see, point, revelation. Well, that is not really occurring, and I thought it was in Discipleship in the New Age, Volume 2. He tells me there's no hits here. So, Revelation, there's 195 of them. And I don't want to go through all of that. I'm just going to try one more time. And point of revelation. So I'll try to put these two together. Point revelation. And we'll see whether anything comes up. Here's the points of revelation. And okay, the second point of revelation. Let's see if they're at all listed. And I have to say that at the moment, not. So I'll just let that go, which is always difficult for me to let something go. All righty. And I'll go back to the sharing. And let's see if I can, that's the chat. And let's see what else. I think, this will have to be it. I hope so. I'm now resuming the recording. And I'll let this go about the points of revelation, assuming that I'll be able to find it, and you will too. Okay. So it links up with the points of revelation. He says, in a very condensed summation of the science of impression, I touch briefly upon three great groups of lives that are constantly under impression, and which in their turn become impressing agents. There are lives in Shambhala, lives in hierarchy, and there is humanity. So I think those are probably the three that we are talking about. There is little that I can add to this theme with profit at this time, what has already been given should be studied and related to the points of revelation. Now, I guess if we go to page 56 in Telepathy and the Etheric Vehicle, well, I'm not going to go there, okay? Because it will be, I think, a little too time-consuming and possibly confusing. But anyway, there is an asterisk which takes us to page 56. It's difficult, of course. In Telepathy, okay, and let's see if I can well, there I say I won't do something and then I do it. Okay, so here it is. Discipleship in the New Age, Volume 2, Section 3. That's where we'll find that, on the points of revelation. Okay. So let me add that in. And it'll be Dinah 2, Section 3. That's where we will find this. Okay. But you'll probably say enough about it right now to make it worthwhile, at least for this particular program. It seems to me, you know, inserting parenthetically here, that the science of impression, as an aspect of the great science, supreme science of contact, is how things really operate. We have to be able to receive impression and to give impression. It's the only way that the divine plan will be somewhat, at least from the human perspective, objectified upon the outer plane through our normal etheric and physical planes. And then impression, well, believe it or not, of course, it has to come to hierarchy via near Manichaeus and from the council chamber. An impression has to come to the members of the council chamber as well, from very high agencies that I've dealt with somewhat earlier in the book. Okay. So DK goes on and says, revelation is a generic term. Let's make sure that I'm actually recording here, you know. Yeah, I am. Revelation is a generic term covering all the responses to the activities of the eye of the mind, the eye of the soul, and the insight of the universal mind, which contact with the monad gives. All right, this is a really an important statement. So we have covering all the responses to the eye of the mind, the eye of the soul, and the insight of the universal mind, which is given by the monad. Now, some aspect of the, well, the true universal mind, what is it? I'm adding parenthetically here. It is a cosmic mind, and it is at least found on the cosmic mental plane, and increasingly beyond and beyond. But we have something on the atmic plane, which begins to show the testimony of universal mind, because the atmic plane is a mental plane, ruled by Saturn. And since it's the third plane down from the logoic plane on our normal etheric physical cosmic plane, it will have to do with intelligence. Now he's going to deal with the factor of sight, and he goes on. Sight is the greatest of all developments in this world period, in which the Logos is attempting to bring the subhuman kingdoms to the point where human vision is theirs, to bring humanity to the point where spiritual vision is developed and hierarchical insight is the normal quality of the initiate sight, and to bring the members of the hierarchy to the point where universal perception is theirs. Well, I'll interpolate and say that for the regarding the sense of sight, that it is of the normal senses, our most synthetic of the senses, the most synthetic. And more we see more and more, and we see all at once in a flash of light. Hearing is much more sequential, as are maybe taste and smell. Other normal senses do not occur in that flash of recognition. And maybe that's what Master Moria means when he talks about the lightning of thought. So here we are bringing subhuman kingdoms to the human stage. Now they may see many things but not understand. Humanity to the point of spiritual division. Spiritual vision, and that is the vision at least of the soul, and universal perception, which is more of Shambhala, is brought to the hierarchy. So just pause there for a moment and think about that. Our vision is always increasing. We have a wonderful example in Master DK, who can tune in to the students whom he has attracted and gathered and know the major, the salient factors in their life, and know with great accuracy, such that Alice Bailey was always amazed at how incisive the Tibetan could be about exactly what was happening of moment in the lives of the students who stood on the periphery of his ashram. And of course, this goes on, and the Shambhalic Council also receives impression from still higher constellational sources, and from a source like Sirius. So there's a great chain of hierarchical vision, a chain of increasing vision, of more sensitive vision, as part of this supreme science of contact. Okay. Everything has been so not okay today that I hope when I say okay, it is indeed okay. Okay, therefore, it might be said that through the door of individualization, says the Tibetan, the subhuman kingdoms pass to human vision, leading, and I would say eventually, but leading to mental contact and intelligent impression. At first, they simply have the kind of vision they have, and sometimes it's extremely sensitive along certain lines that humanity has not yet achieved. But as far as an intelligent understanding, well, that intelligence, that distance from the objective happenings is missing. Nevertheless, there is a great deal of mentality involved in the individualization process, because we have at that point the coming in of the angel of the presence, and I don't know maybe about the master, but I saw a picture the other day, a huge orca, killer whale, they call them that. And here was a diver in front of him. And the diver was completely dwarfed by this immense figure. But though the killer whales hunt in packs to extract the liver of sharks, he was quite harmless to the diver. So there is some kind of verging on intelligence that occurs in some of the higher types of animals, and especially the domestic animals, the dog, the cat, the elephant, the horse. They are the ones who pass first through this door of individualization. So I'll, put this down, and I will just for a moment. Well, in any case, many things are happening here in the house, and so occasionally I have to take a sudden vacation, and that was one of them. So anyway, DK's statement: through the door of individualization, the subhuman kingdoms pass to human vision, and vision, as I say, is more than that which passes through the eye. It is another name for intelligence, intelligent understanding of what is transpiring. Okay. Now, going on. Right, he's basically talking about the development of vision, which is by that is meant some mental understanding. There is also vision, of course, and as I said, sometimes the vision of the animals is sensitive in ways that human vision is not. So that too must be taken into consideration. Then going on, DK says, through the door of initiation, humanity passes to spiritual vision, leading to soul contact and spiritual impression. And this is going to happen with greater and greater sensitivity induced along the way. Is there a limit to our spiritual vision? Well, as a tiny emanation, there may be. But when we begin to disabuse ourselves of our normal emanative ring pass not, then we start rising in the kind of vision or understanding or spiritual contact and impression we can have. Let's go on with this. The different kinds of understanding of a spiritual kind which come to us. Now, this one seems to pertain more to the Christ and such high beings as our ascended masters, meaning they have taken the sixth initiation, and maybe the seventh, through the door of identification, the hierarchy passes to universal vision. And let me add in here that Aquarius is particularly the sign of universality. So through this door of identification, the hierarchy, such as the masters greater than the normal fifth degree initiate, pass to universal vision, leading to monadic contact and extraplanetary impression. That is, would be impression from other planets and impression, well, for the most part, from other planets and to a certain extent by the solar logos, considering the other planets to be aspects of the solar logos. So I'm going to keep that also in this color of consciousness. Okay. And of course, the Christ is the master of identification. And as the old saying goes, he knew what was in man. As so many of his experiences demonstrating him to be the true and elevated psychic are relayed to us, even in a book basically for aspirants, such as the Bible is. Now going on with DK, each time that there is a fresh vision of a compelling and conditioning nature, it is the result of invocation by the one seeking the new impression. Well, you know, sometimes you might think, well, these things happen by accident, or that man has no control over when they happen. But we're talking about visions of a compelling and conditioning nature. And if we have the attitude that we are seeking the new impression, seeking to cooperate with the science of impression, seeking to understand how telepathy really works, then invocation is required. Now, let's remember, we are presented with three great words of power, which we call the great invocations. The first one regarding the forces of light, the second one regarding the lords of liberation and the rider from the secret place, and the third one as the great invocation as we normally understand it. Now, we have to understand that, excuse me, that as we use these invocations consciously, there will be new impression. We are seeking out through the use, let us say, of the three great invocations, fresh vision of a compelling and conditioning nature. So, do we understand then that very much is in our hands, or in our consciousness, regarding how we shall be impressed by higher points of tension? Okay, I'm going to close this down for just a second because other things have to, as I say, there's lots of things going on. So, if I could achieve continuity as I'm trying to do these programs, I would be very grateful, but it's considering the technical mistakes that I personally am making, it doesn't seem quite possible. But anyway, going on with what DK says, each time there is a fresh vision of a compelling and conditioning nature, it is the result of invocation by the one seeking the new impression. That is, let us say, if the vision is really compelling and conditioning, it arises from the use of such words of power as the three great invocations which we have been given. Okay. Now, DK goes on, when this invocative spirit is present, the results are inevitable and sure, and the response evoked cannot be stopped. So the spirit of invocation must inform us, as it were. And we have to learn how to use it. Let's just say that such great beings as the Lords of Liberation, they have no desire to be worshipped or anything like that. They want to be invoked for planetary purpose. And we've been given three tremendous words of power. The 1935-36 Great Invocation number one, the 1940 Great Invocation number two, the 1945 Great Invocation number three. So the invocative spirit DK discusses in some of the previous programs, and it is part of the supreme science of contact. Now let's pause for just a second or a moment until, who knows, the next call comes. And are we possessed of this invocative spirit? And when, if we are and we use it, do we sense or register the response evoked? Do we know? Now I am invoking. And as a result, I have evoked a response comes, and do we register that response? Okay, let's go on with DK. This is the basis of all the success of desire, material or otherwise, aspiration, prayer, and meditation. Oh, very interesting here. Always we get, he says, in time and space, what we invoke. And the knowledge of this fact, scientifically applied, will be one of the great liberating forces of humanity. Always we get what we invoke. That almost sounds, may I say, too good to be true, but of course, we also have unconsciously invoked factors which have a great karmic bearing upon our lives. But when we apply this scientifically, then liberation will come. Liberation for humanity, because we shall know how to access that which is truly necessary at any particular point. We shall know. And we don't just have to be believers. As a matter of fact, you know, when you change from the age of Pisces to the age of Aquarius, you're changing from the era or age of belief into the age of knowledge, true and certain knowledge. And one of the great liberating forces, not necessarily all, but at least one. It's quite a task to assemble all this material. Now, the next aspect here, and I don't, this may be quite a short program. As I say, Michael Crow and I are working on undoing our, bungle, I guess I can call it that, whereby I managed to erase an entire book by just not paying close enough attention. So I hope all of this will, you know, come into a good place. Yes, I would actually love to continue, but I think that has to be for another day. We only began on page 56 and made it to 58. It's not a lot. But okay. And now from 58 to 64, we have another section. And Did I say 64? I think I did. Oh, it goes to 75. Okay. I'm just trying to mark these out as points of arrival. You can imagine what a wealth of study came to the people who were in that first group. As I said, not all of them, but many of the more advanced of the individuals were in that group, including Alice Bailey herself. Even this is interesting. If you think you're getting a communication from a master to you as a disciple, this accounts for 2% of the entire telepathic receptivity demonstrated by humanity as a whole throughout the world. Not very much. Western students here do well to remember that the subjective Eastern student is far more prone to telepathic receptivity than his Western brother. And he tells us it's somewhat humiliating for the Western mystic and the occult student. But we'll get there, okay? Meanwhile, I think the proper thing to do, even though this is a program that may well be under an hour in length, so be it. I think I have to make it ready for you, because the hour chases on apace. And let's see. This one is up to page 64. That's a 9-page section that will take some time. And sometimes time, although illusory in one respect, is a stern taskmaster. Okay, I'm just trying to find the way. Okay, so basically we've come to page 58 and we're getting ready to talk about expanding areas of conscious interaction. So what I'll do is I'll simply say that this goes from 56 to 58, and it's program number 22, and it's done largely on the 13th of November. Okay, and before that came the end of program 21. So I'm going to transport this material down to page 58. Seems like sometimes we never do more than a couple of pages, but okay. That's how it is. This is the end of 22, and it is happening on the 13th, and largely on the 13th of November. And it's the end of the program going from 56 to 58, and we're going to be beginning when next we work on program 23, and I'll just put in the X's because we don't know exactly when, and it will start on page 58. I hope that's clear enough. I'm trying to think of what to say in closing this. The wealth of detail, organized detail, is really staggering. Hierarchy is called the society of organized and illumined minds. Well, that's exactly what we're getting from DK. Brilliant organization and the transfer of light, so that in fact we can understand the telepathic process and use it as receivers and as transmitters. All under the great science of impression and the supreme science of contact. Okay. I think that will have to be the conclusion of what we do for right now. Yeah. Program 22, short, but somewhat completed anyway. So friends, I'll just send this out to you and hope for the best in the future regarding erasing work already done, which is always a shame when there's not so much time to do that work. And meanwhile, we're sending out to you when they occur. I think we're finished now with the United Nations conference, although we may revisit progress on that once a week. And when there are signs of triangles and seeds of the infinite, that is, identify as being, and when there is a cosmic fire in-depth program, these will be sent out. They will be posted by BL and Herald, and they'll be sent out in a special form to those who would like to utilize that form. So, okay, that'll be it for right now. I will stop the recording. I will wish you the power of assimilation and application and clarification, if I may say. Clarity of mind. I think I struggle for it all the time, often not succeeding at all, but still struggling onward. And I think for anyone who is treading the thorny path of occultism, Which means there's lots of those moments when you have to say, ouch, you know, that one hurt. We will persist. We have developed the power of persistence. And without that, you cannot make a Master DK. You cannot make a Chohan Kutumi. You cannot make a great Christed figure, our Lord Maitreya. You, without that persistence, which does not relent no matter how many disappointments along the way there will be. Ultimately, there will be success, and we're doing bridging work into the time of greater success, which DK calls the wonder of the new age. That's what we're doing. So each shouldering his responsibility, the group as a whole shouldering its responsibility, the nations of the world shouldering their responsibility, and finally, all of humanity shouldering its responsibility in relation to the angel of the presence and the master. All of those will be all of those will be achieved. So now I'm saying goodbye to you, and hopefully you're getting something out of this. Okay, so I'll stop recording and wave goodbye, huh?